From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. Clark Ford Studio here this morning. Got a couple of college football things to discuss. Might be the day Brian Harsin is fired. He is back from his vacation, back in the United States. Probably about to get paid a lot of money, even if Auburn would not like to. Not the greatest night on the hardwood for the Tigers last night. They fall in Fayetteville. We'll discuss that a little bit. Ole Miss and Alabama tonight, 7:30 from the Pavilion. So, plenty of things going on. On today's show, brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Still trying to give you $10 free. Free money is good. All you have to do is take a picture of the QR code right there at the pump, any Blue Sky location in Mississippi, and that automatically opens up the Exxon mobile app. 1,000 points automatically, $10, Oxford Exxon, even the pump you're using at the time. So take advantage of that. Lunch specials, $5.69, two sides bread, 32-ounce drink, and more. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. You call it. Ask for my friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest completely up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done. What I recommend that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. Guest, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a great place. Go grab a beer, a po' boy, a burger, appetizer, Ole Miss and Alabama tonight at 7:30. Be a great place to stop on your way to the game, after the game, whatever the case may be. Our bar selection, the whole deal there at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
So we'll get into a couple different topics. I laughed at this, so if I give anybody else a laugh this morning. We care about feelings a lot more in 2022 than we did in the past, for sure.
We do?
Yeah, I think so. And I saw this, and I'm gonna choose today for this to be real, and I actually think it is because I saw some replies under it. Hey, did you see this? Wetzel quote tweeted it this morning.
No.
And said if it's great. It's a letter from 1974. It is from a Cleveland Browns.
Oh, I just saw
Have
this.
You seen this?
Gabe just sent
yeah,
this to
so
me.
Yeah, so it's from a Cleveland Browns season ticket holder to the Cleveland Browns address to their general counsel. And it says, gentlemen, I'm one of your season ticket holders who attends or tries to attend every game. It appears that one of the pastimes of several fans has become the selling of paper airplanes generally made out of the game program. As you know, there's a risk of serious eye injury and perhaps ear injury as a result of such airplanes. I'm sure this has been called to your attention and that several of your ushers and policemen witnessed the same. Please be advised that since you're in position to control or terminate such action on the part of fans, I will hold you responsible for an injury sustained to any person in my party attending one of your sporting events. It is hoped that that this is disrespectful and possibly dangerous activity will be terminated. Very truly yours, Wetzel and Andrus, by Dale O. Cox, the Cleveland Browns general counsel. His only response, dear Mr. Cox, attached to a letter that we received on November 19, 1974, I feel that you should be aware that some asshole is signing your name to stupid letters. Very truly yours, Cleveland Stadium Corporation. James N. Bailey, General Counsel.
Go Browns. I love them. I guess that would mean go Ravens now.
Yeah, sure. There was another spot on Twitter where the person who wrote it said he was 28 at the time and full of a little more piss and vinegar than maybe. Said Art Modell was not pleased when he saw the letter, but it wasn't quite factual. So, yeah.
It's great.
It was great. Like I said, I'm just going to choose this morning for it to be real. It made my day better, so that's what we're going to.
I think it's real.
We're going to go with
Gabe and Jay and I have a group text, and Gabe is
he thinks it is accurate.
Gabe believes it is accurate.
Okay. Somebody else in the thread, and it's probably worth at least mentioning because I know it caused some heat on Twitter. There was an Emily person moving from Florida to Oxford. And they were getting retweeted by a lot of Ole Miss football staff. I think it's the significant other of one of the coaches is what it is.
It is.
That was my interpretation of that.
Which led to one of the creepiest threads in the history of rebelgrove.com, which is saying something.
That's not a low bar.
That is a high bar. When you get up in the upper echelons of creepyrebelgrove.com threads,
yeah,
you've achieved something. I'm not sure what, but something.
Speaking of, this also got mentioned yesterday, because creepy was a word used. Where'd you fall on the Mike McDaniel phone call to Tua yesterday that was all over the internet?
Oh, so I'm not aware of this.
You not seen this?
No.
Okay, I probably should have sent it to you just to make sure. Schefter had retweeted it, so it was kind of everywhere. There was a big thread on the board about it. Look, this is social media, whatever, but Mike McDaniel, the new coach of the Dolphins, is on the plane, I guess, headed to Miami or whatever he was doing for his press conference. And it's recording the first phone call of him calling Tua, going, hey, excited to work with you or whatever.
Okay.
But a couple different problems with it. A camera on a guy is strange. Like, it automatically changes the dynamics of a phone call.
Of course.
McDaniel, I think, really good football coach, but not the most socially polished human in the history of the world by any stretch of the imagination.
He's a football nerd.
Mm-hmm. And also, he's got AirPods in, so we can't hear Tua's responses. And the video came off really strangely with him, like, telling Tua all the great things that's happening, but we can't hear anything else. You probably should watch it. Like, the transcript is probably not a big deal, but when you watch it, you go, that was weird.
Yeah.
That was really strange. But I almost kind of blame the Dolphins social media crew for putting him in a weird position.
Well, it's exactly.
Because he knows he's being filmed talking to this cat.
Doing the one thing in life that he's not good at. And you're going to put it on film. And put it out like it's, hey, look at this promotional thing that we're. That's not why you hired him.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hire him because he's the great communicator. You hired him because Sean McVay essentially said the guy is a genius. He's a savant. He sees the all 22 in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Does this sound familiar? In a way that most people can't. Well, most people, and I'm not painting with a broad brush here, but most people who are like that are kind of socially awkward.
Sure. Well, you don't get everything. Well, and their things.
I mean, when you stood in line and got certain attributes, that meant that you had less time in the other lines. When you stood and, hey, we're going to give you a whole lot of football IQ here, it means when you got to some other stuff, they're like, hey, we're out.
You're full.
Yeah, we've run out of that. You're not going to get much of that.
It was the absolute worst setup. Because even if you could hear some responses and hear the conversation, it would have come off much better. And now, does it really freaking matter?
No, not even a little bit. It's a scoreboard business.
Yeah, he will win or he won't.
When the Dolphins play their first game, the scoreboard will read 0-0, and there will be a 15-0-0, and under the QTR, it'll go 1. They'll flip a coin, someone will kick a ball, likely through the end zone, and someone will take over at their own 25, and we'll roll. And it'll start to click down, and they'll count everything.
They will.
Like Billy Chappell says, yeah, we count everything. Yards, points, everything.
And if they go 13-4, nobody will give two dams.
If they go 13-4, he will be the most endearing nerd in the history of South Florida. And if they go 4-13, they'll hate him.
Well, it's a lot. It's a very large version, a very exponential version of what Missouri kind of has with Drinkwitz. It's funny when you're winning. It's the nerd, the Star Wars thing or whatever. He loses and kind of looks like the path maybe they're headed on a little bit, and suddenly he's just annoying.
Eric Musselman.
Yeah.
He got shirtless out in the crowd after the game, and everybody goes, it's great. Nobody would think that if they were losing. It's the world we live in. I mean, Kiffin's that way.
Mm-hmm.
If Kiffin started losing here, people would go, this guy's really strange, man. I don't know. This doesn't work. But because he wins, everybody's like, and that's your business.
It is the first cousin of, that guy's an asshole, but my God, he's my asshole.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it is. Yeah. I mean, it's the whole deal.
I would hate that SOB if he was coaching Alabama. But just, hey, you know what?
Just is what it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm not picking on anybody. That's just how people are.
Are you buying this McDaniel thing? Would you buy stock in the Dolphins today?
Is
that too strong? Because of a personnel issue?
Yeah, but I would at least think about it because you look at, I mean, their ownership is usually pretty motivated. They're willing to spend. And when you see guys like McVay rave about him, you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe. Because McVay's a genius. It's obvious. I've learned when football people that I know and trust, like, yeah, that guy's a savant. What people say about him is that he sees the All-22 in a way that most people, and when I say most, like 99.9-something% of people don't see. Processes thoughts quickly. He's an okay communicator inside the building. That's all that really matters. None of the other stuff really matters. He's kind of a goofball with media.
Mm-hmm.
So most media are going to kind of like him. He'll be fine. No one cares about all that crap anyway. Does anybody really care? It's a scoreboard. You're either going to win or lose. But he got the job because of his football acumen, not because he could conduct.
You talked to Ryan about it? Brown?
No. Just have watched his Twitter.
Has it been mostly positive?
Ryan's wife is not a fan. She thinks that this is obviously a disaster.
Because of his social skills.
Yes.
And he's trying to convince her that it's fine because of his football acumen.
I think Ryan's worried that she's right. But Ryan's a Dolphins fan, and you're conditioned. You're conditioned for disappointment. It's like being a Cubs fan.
Well, I mean, I convinced myself that the Saints made the right hire hiring a guy that went 8-28 in his last head coaching stop. Your brain can do some things.
Sure, you rationalize a lot of things.
I mean, because look, considering the Saints' history, it's a bold statement to go, yeah, but that was the Raiders. I mean, come on. That's a shit franchise. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
that won't happen here.
We've been good for so long.
We're not the Florida Gators at all, where we're one coach and one quarterback. That's not possible.
No.
I know we didn't win a playoff game until 2000, but
now, the odds are overwhelming that the Saints have figured out winning culture.
Okay.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with Breeze and Peyton.
Nah.
They were just there.
Mickey Loomis, exec of the year, even though we're $60 million over the cap. It's all good. What's the problem? I'd hate to be his capologist. I mean, just
oh, can you imagine,
Mickey? No, we cannot do that.
Yeah,
you just make the numbers work.
Yeah, can you imagine that cat when he goes home at night? Yeah,
hey, Carol, just run the numbers. It's true. The Saints did not hire Lovie Smith. That's very true.
It's true.
We're gonna move on. We actually have a good many topics today. I'm just kind of all over the place. Does Brian Flores' attorney want people to hate him or something? Just congratulate the Texans on a coach and shut up.
I've said this for a minute. I don't understand.
Statement of going, hey, we're really glad you hired him, but it should have been me. Well, hold on.
You know, I want to know who's financing this. Why this man's throwing his career away. I'm hopeful for his sake, genuinely, I'm hopeful for his sake that there is a lot of bank behind this. Because this is insanity. Guy was incredibly well thought of around the league, was getting interviews, and was going to get a job, if not in this cycle, the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thrown that all away. And his attorneys are putting out commentary that make him look like an idiot, frankly.
Yes. I don't know. It was a strange deal yesterday. We'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some other stuff. But Ole Miss Bama basketball tonight, 7:30. It merely is up to depending on how Alabama shoots, right? If they hit, they are going to win the basketball game.
Yeah, when Alabama shoots well, they're a really good team. When they don't,
they look like crap.
Ole Miss's problem is that the way to beat Alabama is to go outscore them. Alabama scored 80 points against Auburn and still lost the game.
Because they gave up 101.
You know, I mean,
Defensively, Alabama's not great.
No, they don't even really – that's not really what they emphasize. Now, you know, you can lock them down, but Ole Miss doesn't have the length and size of Kentucky or the athleticism of Kentucky. They're not going to be able to
– of the depth.
Clamp down on Alabama.
Because Bama's going to try to go.
Yeah, and Ole Miss is not.
Ken Palm giving Ole Miss a 33% chance of winning the game tonight. They are predicting 74-69 tied.
Oh, a 5-point game. What's the line?
I'll go pull it up. You think that's too what?
I don't know. I mean, it's SEC basketball. I anticipate a sort of dead environment, so sometimes it's hard to generate much energy in those games.
A little more low scoring, potentially.
Yeah, just kind of you got to make
a little
yourself,
ugly early for sure.
You got to make yourself get into the game.
That affects both sides kind of equally too. That's a home and a, like it just muddies the game up all the way around is what it does. Purdue hammered Illinois, by the way, last night.
Well, Purdue's got, I can't think of the kid's name. You would think I would as many times as I hear it. They've got that 6'4 guard who can freaking play.
Bama's a 6-point favorite tonight.
6-point favorite.
Yeah. Over under 143.5 of 70-ish a piece.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go under on an Alabama game.
Frankly, 74-69 plays it kind of.
Yeah, I'm not betting that game. I'm not betting any game, but I'm not betting that one. That doesn't feel right.
No. I mean, you could look like a complete moron either way. Because again, I mean, Bama hits a bunch of threes, and I mean, it's blitzkrieg.
And yes, Mark, it's Jaden Ivey. I don't know why I can't think of his name. I never can think of that kid's name. Jaden Ivey will be a top four pick. The top four picks in the NBA draft are set. The order is not set. Although I know after last night, I know who I'm taking. Know it. No, don't even think about it.
Completely.
Jabari in. Smith Jr., my dude. There it is.
You
Here's
want
my
him.
Pick. I want that. I want him. Here's my card. Take it. We're rolling the dice.
I did not necessarily think that. We'll get to that game in a minute.
He's so good.
Those back-to-back threes late were pretty nice.
We'll get to it. Last night will be the best thing that happened to Auburn in a long time.
You said that yesterday.
Last night was good for Auburn.
You felt
so
that
so many ways. They needed to lose. They were flirting with losing. They were starting to do the little things in a mediocre way. They were getting loose with the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting a little too dependent on a couple of people and not dependent enough on the one dude who can carry them. It'll be a good that went really well.
Talk about that more coming up in a minute. First, tell you about Prime Shrimp, primeshrimp.com. It is a restaurant-quality shrimp from a New Orleans-based company right to your door, and then it pulls out of freezer and is on your plate in less than 10 minutes, still in boiling water. Doesn't take some fancy chef skill at all, and you can have either one of their two flavors they have available right now. They have more coming as well, that signature seasoning or French Quarter Alfredo. If you head to their Instagram, you can see a recipe for the French Quarter Alfredo. It's shrimp bacon cheese fries for maybe the Super Bowl this weekend. If you're trying to look for different things for that, you can buy one today, get it delivered in time for that as well. Also, you can buy at least 4 pounds and get free shipping on that and use code MPW, $20 off with PrimeShrimp.com. So again, use MPW and get it straight to your door, $20 off.
Southern Traditions Farm is a 68-acre, 32-stall, upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi, with 2 sand rings, a grass ring, and miles of wooded trails. There's a lot to be offered at Southern Traditions, including horseback riding offerings from beginner lessons with trainer Susan Walt to buying your first horse and competing at nationally recognized competitions. Under the teachings of one of the best young professionals in the sport, Bowers Cohn, Southern Traditions has high hopes for the future. Along with owners Ben and Hillary Craddock, Southern Traditions has become one of the leading equestrian facilities in Mississippi. For questions or information about lessons, boarding, or sales, please contact Bowers Cohn at bowerscohn1@gmail.com or message Southern Traditions Farm on Facebook or Instagram. We're brought to you by Bell & Grove, based out of Chattanooga. Daryl Oliver and Evan Dial built Bell & Grove. It's a logistics provider with more than 35 years of transportation industry experience. They specialize in domestic freight movement throughout the continental U.S. Bell & Grove can navigate through supply chain issues while also leaning on their partner carriers to get the most competitive rate possible for their customers. In addition, Bell & Grove can help customers design a custom solution for their shipping needs. So whether your business is in need of moving a truckload, a partial shipment, or a flatbed, Bell & Grove can accommodate you. They also provide both air and ground expedited services for customers who need to move product quickly. For more information, call Daryl Oliver at 865-672-6557. Don't just accept what you see, but imagine something new. Step forward and chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental is helping people reinvent themselves one smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are the virtually invisible way to improve your smile. So call Corinth Dental today for a no-cost digital scan of your teeth. Let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile. 12 months, no interest, no down payment financing available at CorinthDental.com. And we're brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. They're stylist hand-select pieces from top designers. From work to lifestyle to nightlife, there's the perfect something for everyone. The Rogue has all the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more. It's 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or The Rogue. .com.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com. Go to the events page. Everything going on this week and every week. Waitress, the National Broadway Tour is at the Ford Center tonight. Tomorrow you have Ox Film Presents, King of Film Record, Montgomery to Memphis. That's at the Powerhouse at 6 o'clock. And then on February 12th, maybe for the kiddos, Dog Man, the musical. It is at the Ford Center as well. Got a lot of basketball back on Saturday for South Carolina at the Pavilion. More stuff coming as well as baseball season getting close, 9 days away from first pitch right now. So visit OxfordMS.com/events. Podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. G&M offers MedSync, which fills your prescriptions the same day each month and takes care of you. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, and they're available in Holly Springs as well with Tyson Drugs. So whether you need those things or Right Way Meds, which individually packages your medication, G&M can take care of you. So again, 662-236-2222. The other couple games tonight, Georgia at Florida. That is at 5:30 in Gainesville. Florida is a 14-point favorite over the Bulldogs. That is a huge line with Florida's guard play. And then 8 o'clock tonight, pretty good game in Starkville. The Volunteers in town playing Bulldogs tonight.
That is a good game.
Tennessee by one in that one.
Big opportunity for State. I haven't pulled up the – I guess I could. I could
the net.
The new net.
A couple different things here. Plays into some stories I want to look at. We'll get to basketball. I got a couple football things first. We have an offensive kind of roster snapshot at rebelgrove.com. We'll have a defensive too, probably today, maybe in the morning. Years of eligibility remaining in each position, players, whether they've used their transfer portal year, who has a COVID year remaining as well, trying to give you guys an understanding of sort of where the roster sits and, frankly, probably, at least for me, educating myself on it too to a certain extent. I'll tell you what stuck out is that they definitely still feel like they need another running back because we try to put only scholarship players in this for the most part. I don't know whether Isaiah Willard is on scholarship. That's the one I really was not sure about as I was putting this together yesterday. But since he had SEC carries in his career, I added him. But even with Willard, only four backs on the roster from a scholarship standpoint, and that includes Judkins. A little light there. And then I forgot just how many offensive linemen they have on scholarship and are using right now. We'll see who develops. We'll see what comes of it. But it made me at least, on a more long-term nature, feel a little better about their line play because, you're not ever going to hit 100 or zero. So I would assume some of those guys are going to pan out and they need to.
Sure.
But that was kind of the couple things that I went out and said, hey, it's maybe a little better. Now, at the same time, you're going to see some portal in and out. It's a two-way door. We talk about that. And that's going to come, especially, I feel like, at that position to some level because, I mean, frankly, they've got like 20 offensive linemen on scholarship right now. It's a big number.
Yeah, they're going to have some guys leave after after spring. I don't think there's any question about that. They're going to bring in some guys, and they're going to have some guys leave.
Because they have to. I mean, you got to make room.
And that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, if you're at the end of spring and you've been there a little while and you're third team, you've got a decision to make.
Casey Kelly has been put on scholarship. Yeah. So they have – I think they actually are using six scholarships on tight ends right now, I think. It's five or six. Again, this is not overly scientific. Ole Miss is not just going to hand you a list of their 85 scholarships, but
no, they
that is
not.
The best of my.
You didn't think to just call over there and ask?
I mean, I could have, but I don't anticipate getting a very clear answer.
You don't think that would have gone well?
Hey, I'm just curious. I'm writing something. But, I mean, you look at, you know, running backs, snaps in 2021 from an experience standpoint, Bullock 35, Evans 208. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot there.
They're pretty high on Judkins, but yeah, he hadn't played yet. Yeah.
And then ESPN had a out of their way. Look, this is premium winter content here. They took their way too early top 25 and then did a what worries each team the most. And I just kind of assumed quarterback play for Ole Miss, but as I saw it, I actually agree with this, even though I could have grabbed two or three other things too, but it was wide receiver depth, that they're just not wide receivers to the most point on that. And that wouldn't have been what I picked, but it kind of highlighted it.
I think the portal's going to take care of that.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, this isn't including Malik Heath. This isn't including the possibility of Deion Smith. I mean, that's substantial.
And maybe one more.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Not the kid from Vanderbilt, by the way.
Cam Johnson.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Also, and this is scary for media because you can't take their words on this because everybody's confident about everybody, but I do think that Jalen Knox is probably a little better than he's getting credit for being in some of these things, or sure. At least Ole Miss expects him to be.
Well, the news cycle is really short now. You
forget that lives a year.
Dude disappears for a year, and you forget him. In fairness, I'm not one to always defend the national media, but I'm going to give him a.
Hey, remember they've got that wide out that sat out that did it. It's like, oh, come on.
I'm going to give him a pass on that.
He was at Mizzou and he was academically ineligible and there's stuff and it's like, I'm
giving him a pass. I get it. Wide receiver's an issue.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mingo's got to stay healthy.
I mean, you lose Dontario Drummond and you lose Braylon Sanders. That's a lot of production that walks off your campus. Yeah, Jonathan was hurt a lot last year. Didn't really play in the second half of the season. Certainly wasn't effective after he got hurt. So, yeah, there's question marks. I have question marks at defense. Defensive line, specifically edge.
You think the edge is a bigger deal than the middle?
I mean, I like Cedric Johnson. I think there's a chance that he has a really good year and he addresses some of this. And maybe, is it Ivy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Speaking of Ivies, you know, maybe he's – steps in and is a contributor, but replacing Sam Williams's output, it got overlooked a little bit because early in the season there was so much focus on what they were doing offensively because they were lighting the world on fire. Sam Williams had a special season.
He had better stats than the guy that finished second for the Heisman.
Yeah, he was so impactful, and even on plays where he didn't get a stat. He was forcing, by the second half of the season, he was forcing the offensive coordinators to game plan around him. And I don't know that they have that guy right now on defense. The guy that, if you're a coordinator, you look at him on film and go, okay, we've got to address seven here.
I don't know if it's because of his history. I don't know what it is. He's ranked too low in these, not really mock drafts, but rankings for draft eligible prospects. Like I saw ESPN had him. They had him listed as an outside linebacker instead of a defensive end, but he was ranked number 10, and that felt low. It was behind three or four SEC guys. It was behind – I mean, the other guy at Michigan's really good, Aboe or whatever. I'm blanking out a little bit.
The Nigerian kid?
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah, I'm not – point being, I'm not saying at the top, but it felt really, really too low in some other spots. So we'll see. ESPN had Corral, the number 27 overall prospect. Again, that's not team dependent. That is simply just prospect standpoint. Might have been McShay. I guess he's back to work now.
Todd?
Yeah. You know, he had like that whole thing.
Yeah.
Put him up there or whatever.
I don't know. I hope so. He's a nice guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he used to come on our show in Mobile all the time.
Huh. Okay.
Didn't have to, and did.
During hand size season? Draft stuff?
Yeah, kind of all the time.
Really?
Talk draft, yeah.
To my knowledge, I'm reading from the stream here, I don't think Ole Miss has made a decision on Brew McCoy.
As of
last
week-ish, they had not. They were still doing their research. Including the research into whether or not he's eligible.
Which is substantial.
Fairly significant.
Because, like, that's the oddity of the transfer portal thing, too. Look, I mean, I assume he'll be happy here, and there's no reason to, like, necessarily work anybody up. But, like, Jalen Knox didn't use his free one because he had to sit out.
Right.
So he still technically has a transfer year from a free standpoint.
Correct.
Because he did the other thing. Like, it's gotten fairly complicated. It's today's.
By the way, Ole Miss's pro day is March 24th. It's the same day as Liberty's and Cincinnati's. The NFL tells you when your pro day.
Why would they want them all the same day?
I don't know.
I mean, really, like what?
But it's the NFL who sets those now.
Well, yeah, sure, but why would you want them all the same day? You can't.
I don't know. So, Malik Willis and Desmond Ritter and Matt Corral will all have their pro day on the same day. So. Some Jets are going to get tested, and then some teams are going to have decisions to make as to
where are you sending this guy?
Who's going where? Where's the coach going? Where's the GM going?
It means that you'll have a pretty good picture of
– unless they're doing misinformation. Unless you send the GM somewhere else intentionally. And they all play that game.
They have too much damn time on their hands.
Of course. We've talked about this.
I mean, it just...
We've talked about this a lot of times.
It makes no freaking sense. At all. The thing I found interesting...
I wonder how complicated it is to get to Liberty. Is that... Can you fly into Lynchburg?
Surely there's a private airport in Lynchburg.
Yeah.
Sure. It's bigger than we give it credit for being, right?
I've never been. I don't know.
Right?
I mean, I don't know. I know nothing about it.
Yeah, I would think so.
It'd be a busy day, though. You're a GM.
I mean, Malik's like the number 6 overall prospect. I mean, he might go like 4 or 5.
Well, they love his physical skills.
Other SEC schools, if you're curious, they questioned Alabama's depth at wide receiver. Was their flaw.
Yeah.
Championship letdown for Georgia. Cop out.
That's too easy. Come on.
Give an answer. A&M passing attack.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll buy
that. That's fair. Who else is in the top 25 in the league?
That's what I'm looking at.
It's Florida? They're not.
Oh, not.
Arkansas after last year?
I thought they were in there. I'm getting down. Iowa quarterback play, 15.
Same as it ever was.
That's a mad lib. You just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, just offense.
Yeah.
Scoring.
Departures on defense for Cincinnati versus quarterback. That was interesting. Losing a lot on defense.
Yeah, they lost a ton in their secondary.
Oh, really?
A lot. Yeah. They lost a lot of dudes.
Arkansas is ranked number 20th in the preseason, or whatever the hell this is. Uh-huh. And defensive secondary.
Yeah, lost a lot of guys in the portal. Added the kid from Georgia out of the portal that played. I don't know what else they got. I have no idea.
You don't know?
No.
Lost all the stuff to LSU. Kentucky 21, the trenches, both sides for Kentucky. That's a little bit of a warning sign there because that's where they're supposed to kind of make their hay.
That's their strength.
If that's your problem,
yeah.
Do we sell Kentucky a little for next year? That's one that stuck out to me. A little bit, or a pretty good bit. Receiving core for Ole Miss at 23, and then actually South Carolina's ranked 25th in the preseason.
Ugh. It feels like you're really buying the hype.
You're doing a lot of Spencer Rattler in that one. I mean, you are doing, and Beamer did a hell of a job last year.
He really
did.
He did a great job.
He did a hell of a job.
He did.
And then defensive line was their issue, which, again, in this league, that's not a good place to – I mean, kind of like Ole Miss is dealing with it a little bit, even though it wasn't what they picked. The other thing that I found interesting –
well, because Texas A&M has all the defensive linemen. They're all in one place.
They don't have the quarterback, but they have every damn thing else, don't they? Yeah. Like, it's – I mean, because –
you do wonder if hand-raised guys walks onto their practice field this spring and goes, okay, so
– y'all are really good there.
We have like 10 or 11 of those cats, and that's good, but we don't – did you not think that we – they're a little shaky on some spots on offense.
Yeah.
Defensively, they could be loaded.
And then
– I mean loaded.
The other thing I found interesting, story, you know, ESPN yesterday, and it was returning production for the 2022 season. And, I mean, the one rule of this is if you've sucked and everybody's back, that's not necessarily a good thing. You still suck because it's the same players.
Yeah.
And if you were good and you lost everybody, well, you have confidence you can build. So, I mean, this is not a overall accurate picture, but there are a couple things.
You wouldn't want to use this as a guide to bet your mortgage.
No. Because, like, number three is Stanford. Well, they were pretty damn average last year. I'm not going to go, hey, you know what? The Cardinals are going to go win the Pac-12. No, they're not.
Right.
They have the same sucky players back this season. And because it's Stanford and it's a little weirder to get in and stuff, they have less ability to do a lot of roster mobility, frankly, too. If anything, that's kind of a bad thing there. Because, like, South Florida is number five. Well, okay.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
Because they went, what, 2-10?
They were bad last year. Yeah. We dove into them because of Weiss.
That might be a sign to bet against them.
Yeah. Southern Miss, number seven. They have 85% back from last year. They've tried to help in the portal a little bit, but it's a road. It's why NC State continues to be ranked so highly. They're 12. They have all their starters back from last season for the most part. 81% total, 75% on offense, 88% on defense.
I've heard some people say if you're looking for a team to buy next season, it's kind of off the radar. That might be it.
State is number 20. You can make of that what you will.
Well, you got a quarterback back for a third year.
They have 72% on offense back, 84% on defense back.
It's why it's so imperative for Ole Miss to get off to a great start, because the back half of their schedule is just potentially brutal.
I don't know what their schedule is, but if you wanted to potentially try to jump on some betting for a group of five team that made a run, UT San Antonio is 22 and has 77% of their back from the one loss team last year. So, interesting thing there with them. What are you looking up?
Looking up their football schedule.
Who's?
Let's find us a team to.
You look up NC State's?
No, UTSA.
Oh, you're looking up this?
Yeah. Okay. Might need a team to champion, you know? All right, let's see. They play.
I don't think their schedule strength is good enough, frankly.
They play Houston to open the season September 3rd, at Army September 10th, at Texas September 17th, Texas Southern after that. What's the rest of it? Why are you only giving me a four-game schedule?
Are you in 2022?
Yeah.
Can't find their schedule?
They gave me the first four games.
Okay.
I'm looking for it. Nope, that's it. That's all they got.
Okay.
So I guess they're not planning to play all the games.
Yeah. They went 12-2 last year.
That's weird.
Got a lot of guys back from 12-2 team. They lost in the Frisco Bowl. Do you remember who they played in the Frisco Bowl, Mr. McCurdy?
I don't. Ball State.
It's a good guess, but no. San Diego State.
Oh, okay.
Them too.
It's weird that they don't have the schedule. That's really kind of bothers me.
Ole Miss on this list, which is why I pulled up to start with, they are 98th in returning production. That is not a surprise at all. They are 114th in returning offensive production when you lose your quarterback and your wide receivers and your running backs. That kind of happens. 49%, 68% on defense. That is 59th in the country. So overall, 59%, 98th. Baylor one behind them at 99. Little comparison there. And see if there's any SEC teams below Ole Miss. There are not. Ole Miss is the lowest SEC team from a returning production standpoint.
I do have NC State schedule up.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting. So they at East Carolina to open, Charleston Southern at home, Texas Tech at home, UConn at home, at Clemson.
The 4-0 when they play the Tigers.
Florida State at home, at Syracuse, open date, Virginia Tech at home, Wake Forest at home, at Boston College, at Louisville, at North Carolina.
God, the ACC sucks.
It's
that
so
is
bad.
Such a manageable schedule.
So bad. I mean, if you somehow, if
10-2 is doable.
If you beat Clemson, at that point you become one of the teams to watch because there's nobody else on the schedule that's that's an L.
Yeah, we got to go to Chestnut Hill next week.
Yeah, I mean that's it. You got to go to Syracuse. Okay. So when you look at their schedule, you go, there's one game that you look at it on the schedule and go, that's probably an L.
Are you surprised Matt Campbell didn't do more to try to get out at the end of the year? They are 128th in returning production.
I was going to say, what I don't...
They had everybody last year.
What I don't know is how hard he tried.
Maybe he just couldn't get something.
Because I was told by some people who are in that kind of realm that this was the first time that he even was open to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe he just didn't get the bites.
Yeah, possibly.
He also hurt himself with that interview or whatever it was he gave that day.
It did. Shouldn't
he
have.
He felt very like, all shucky, small-timey, like whatever.
And then you saw the way that the senior day thing played out, and you realized what he was trying to say, but we don't live in a contextual world.
No. You don't get the eight-week-later nuance thing there. It doesn't really work. Coastal Carolina lost everybody. Might want to sell on the Chanticleers being your group of five, little whatever, this year. Freeze got very few people back. He was way down that list at Liberty.
So you think Freeze is going to be at Liberty?
Well, look, we'll get to that in a second, too. But I don't think the loss of production is the reason that Freeze may or may not be at Liberty. Because, I mean, he has recruited incredibly well for that level of football. They'll be fine. They'll do whatever.
Yeah.
When are they going to Conference USA? Is that still a couple years away?
It's like a year or two.
Okay.
Soon.
I mean, he'll run that league if he's still
there. He'll do great.
I mean, whatever the hell that's worth.
I mean, I can tell you this. There are people close to Hugh Freeze that are saying, stay where you are.
You're a good fit.
There's better opportunities down the road. Stay where you are. It's hard for people to do that. I mean, especially when you just...
And they're wired. I mean, you're
wired a certain way. And, you know, can you get another Malik Willis there? I don't know.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You can local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
What are your goals for 2022? Does your company need hard-to-find talent to meet these goals? Maybe you're personally seeking a career change. Let this be your year to make the change. Your first step needs to be to contact Service Specialist Employment Agency. They're the oldest employment agency in Mississippi. They recruit in all industries. Remember, there's nothing to lose by reaching out. There's no cost to you as a candidate. Everything is kept confidential. Service Specialist wishes you and your company a successful 2022. You can contact them at 662-832-5138. I actually have my mailbag already up this morning, which was an achievement given how late I got started on it. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt, Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all of your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can reach her at 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. Brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com, just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. And we're brought to you by OPA, Oxford's newest restaurant on the historic square. They have a delicious menu featuring gyros, wraps, kebabs, redfish, lamb chops, and more. Handcrafted cocktails, frozen libations, an amazing candlelit patio, 306 South Lamar, just south of the Square Courthouse in Oxford. John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis is going to join me fairly soon for a travel podcast. ask for questions at rebelgrove.com. We've gotten a lot of really good ones. We'll go over a lot of those in a podcast about travel. If you don't want to wait for that podcast, I don't blame you. Get in touch with John. Give him some parameters and a budget. He will give you options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. And we're brought to you by Pinnacle. They're based in Madison, Mississippi, with clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and so much more. At Pinnacle, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle is going to sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. It's mypinwealth.com, mypinnwealth.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Nick's Tan and Associates, nickstanoxford.com. Go to the website and see multiple ways to see all the homes available in Oxford and Lafayette County. O'Keefe, Graham, Claytoways, and their team of associates will help you out in a crazy real estate market. Whether you're on the buy side or the sell side, they'll take care of you in a quick fashion with that. 662-281-1200. You can click the link in my message board signature, or again, contact them online at nickstanoxford.com or 662-281-1200. Podcast also brought to you by Northeast Spark. NESPARC service people across rural communities. Two packages, the 100 Mbps, the Ignite, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESPARC.com. 662-238-3159. Phone service, portal controls, network security, and much more. So, again, get the best internet around in Lafayette County. 662-238-3159. You know, I'm actually, just a quick thing here. I get what happened. I get that it was beyond the norm, but I kind of agreed with Lincoln Riley yesterday. Did you listen to this? Did you hear this on Coward yesterday?
I heard his comment about he didn't take players from USC. He took players from the transfer portal.
And look, was he being disingenuous? Sure. Everybody's cheating, though. Everybody's cheating. Everybody's tampering.
Mm-hmm.
So getting really worked up about what Lincoln Riley did is incredibly disingenuous, because it's almost everybody would have done the same thing in that situation.
It's been a bad look for Oklahoma.
Yeah, they've looked petty and weird in this, because, look, he's right. I mean, he gave an incredibly good answer, and I would assume he probably knew the question was going, or maybe he's just answered this 7,000 times. I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't know how intelligent he is or isn't. But he said that. He said, look, yeah, we did not take players from Oklahoma. We took players from the transfer portal. And frankly, if we didn't look into players that were in the transfer portal that can help USC, we would be doing a disservice to the players we recruited at the other place, because they're already in the portal. They're going somewhere. And two, to USC football, as we're trying to improve. He's right. Like, there's, to me, somehow in this, Lincoln Riley has come out looking better than the University of Oklahoma from a PR standpoint.
It's the girlfriend broke up with you. It was kind of public.
Oh, it was ugly.
And your feelings were bad hurt. The very worst thing you can do in that moment, the single worst thing you can do in that moment, is to go get on Facebook and blast him, her. Just stop.
Yeah, that's...
Be bigger than that. Get over it. Get through your emotions. Go talk to your friends privately. Get it out. And then try to move on. Especially after you've started dating a new girl. Stop. Oklahoma's all over Facebook blowing up Lincoln Riley. Still, stop. Stop. She's gone.
You know, this is a passing podcast topic one day. We just hit this for a minute. About kind of systemically things inside their program, frankly, how they handle things. Oklahoma was not SEC ready.
Mm-hmm.
This reads into that.
It does.
That, hey, guys, if this is working you dudes up like this, you better take a breath. You got stuff coming.
They're in for such an awakening, man. They're in for such an awakening. This is such a different league. You try to tell people it's beyond the football.
Yeah, no, it's
the football part's self-explanatory. You think, when you think SEC as a blue blood like Oklahoma, you think, Yeah, I get it. That trip to Alabama is going to be tough. That trip to Georgia is going to be tough.
Yeah, that's not the point.
Like, no, dude, that ain't it. That's not it. It's the trip to Lexington that you're not prepared for. It's the trip to Starkville when you're the biggest thing that's happened there in a long time and they show up. It's the trip to Fayetteville when it's 12 degrees and sleeting on November the 8th and they love it. It's that.
Well, it's just the day-to-day hit of it. I mean, as much as we want to make fun of the girl on the beach and the whole, it just matters more. Everything matters more. Every day, it is the biggest thing that goes on that day.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You don't get the break where it's, okay, well, Kansas State's cute. No.
Nope.
Locked in.
Everybody.
And their fans are locked in. 365.
Everybody. Buckle up. And usually you have to experience it first. Texas A&M will tell you that. In fairness to Texas A&M, they will tell you that it was culture shock.
Yeah, sure.
In total fairness to them, we make fun of them a lot, and they deserve it. I'll give them credit there. If you talk to people at Texas A&M who were there when they moved into the league, they will tell you that, whoa.
They caught a really good break by getting into the league with Manziel.
Sure.
Because it
softened the blow.
Yeah, without that, it would have been really weird.
But even with Manziel, they were like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
It's still really hard. I mean, look at them last year. This the schedule, the way the schedule worked out. They come to Oxford in mid-November, and it's going to be hard to beat Ole Miss that night. That's this league. Remember when Ole Miss, like, not to bring up a bad topic, but in 2009 when Ole Miss went to South Carolina on that Thursday night? Shoo.
Eric Norwood had his day.
Dude, you were walking into an absolute snake pit. Good luck. Last night in basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the game in Fayetteville. That was Auburn walked into there. Better be ready. I mean, that's this league, and I don't know that OU's completely ready for that. And then all the recruiting stuff, too, where everybody's after you.
From that standpoint, from what we're talking about, I'm not sure that Texas isn't more ready than Oklahoma. Now, they're not as good. They have some talent issues, but you can make the argument that of those two head coach programs, Sarkisian will have his program more prepared for that.
I think that's fair. I can tell you this. Talking to people that are around Texas, they'll tell you that the trip to Fayetteville last year
woke it up.
Was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And that Sarkisian said as much. Like, he talked to some people, not players and stuff, but talked to some people around the program that said, look, I've coached in that league, and that's what this league is.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that. That what happened was not a fluke. That wasn't, oh, well, whatever. No. We got whipped. And we better, I know for a fact that he told some people, we better hope they're a 10-win team.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And they do. When you got to head to LSU 1 week, and then you turn around the next week, and it's Ole Miss coming to town, and Ole Miss has circled you. And you kind of take a mental break. Doesn't work. Mental breaks don't work.
We'll get to Arkansas at Auburn in a second. Elsewhere around the league last night, Kentucky just kind of played with South Carolina, won in Columbia by 10. They were up by 5 at the break. The kid for Kentucky, Oscar, whatever his name is, I keep forgetting it. He had 18 and 14 last night. Was really, really good for the Wildcats.
Yeah.
LSU knocks off A&M in College Station last night. Will Wade and his guys got it done, 76-68 in that one. A&M officially done.
That's they're out.
Mark it out now. And then in the other game last night, Scottie Pippen Jr. had 19 points, and Vanderbilt knocked off Missouri 70-62 in Nashville last night. Give Vanderbilt credit. They're back to 5-6 in the league. They've been okay. Vanderbilt's not a bad basketball
team.
No,
and Pippen's a really good player.
Yeah, they're kind of riding their horse a little bit.
Imagine that. Someone that comes from Scottie Pippen's DNA is good at basketball.
Yeah,
go figure. So Kentucky is 4 in the net right now.
Okay.
Auburn stayed at 7 after losing at Arkansas.
Yeah, 80-76 in overtime.
Tennessee is up to 11. LSU stayed at 16. Alabama goes into tonight at 24. Arkansas stayed at 37, proof that a home win doesn't do for you what a road win does. Florida is at 44. You talked about Mississippi State's game tonight. It is pivotal. Mississippi State comes into tonight's game 50th.
That's the number.
Tonight is an opportunity. You got, frankly, it's a must-win game because you don't get the home game bounce. It's in Starkville, correct?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
A&M's down to 70. They're out. Vanderbilt's at 83. They're out. Ole Miss.
They're dangerous. Hell at 83, though.
Oof. They're scary. Ole Miss is 104. Carolina's 105. Missouri is 140 after losing. And Georgia is down to 207.
Good God. 207?
207.
He's out.
And I always look at this because I'm just curious. Speaking of Oklahoma, Oklahoma is 48 right now in the net. Texas is 14. So Texas is in great shape.
Okay. And then, like I said, the game last night, crazy crowd in Fayetteville. Arkansas knocking off Auburn 80-76. The Razorbacks now 19-5, 8-3. They've won 8 or 9 in a row.
Nine in a row.
Okay.
Yeah. So they won 10 in a row to start the season, lost 5 in a row, and then they've won 9 in a row.
There you go. Auburn 22-2, 10-1 now in the league. Notay just incredible for Arkansas last night, 28-5.
Yeah.
Kessler had 16-19 for Auburn last night. For free throw differential was the difference in the game. I think Arkansas finished 26 of 30, I think, something like that.
Something like that.
Auburn was below 500, or below 50%, and their free throw percentages missed several one-and-ones. They were really bad at the stripe last night.
I didn't get to see a lot of it because I was in Tupelo with
Eight
Carson.
Of 17.
But Arkansas attacked them in a way that I don't know that Auburn's been attacked. I mean, when I say that, I mean they went downhill a lot. They drove.
In the second half, they got Kessler in foul trouble, ended up fouling him out. Jabari Smith last night just goes 6 of 16. He actually did not shoot the ball overly well. He hit a couple of huge threes late to kind of try to hang him around for a minute. Ends up with 20 points.
But in the first half, they didn't even use him. They got completely away from him. If I'm Bruce today, tomorrow, when they sit down and watch film, I got to have a conversation with my guards. And I know one of their starting guards didn't play. He's been sick for a week now. Non-COVID, stomach or something. But I got to have a conversation about we have this kind of generational talent here, and we've got to utilize him. We've got to work the offense, get the ball to him more. You have to get him involved because Jabari didn't get into a groove until the second half. Well, now you've given the game away. Auburn's better than Arkansas, but they're not so much better that you can have the turnover mistakes that they had, that you can be as sloppy as they were for the periods that they were sloppy. And you know when you play one of his teams, his being Musselman's teams, that they're going to come at you. That is who they are. That is their DNA. That is what they do, and you know that's coming, and it seemed to catch them off guard early because Auburn's offense in the early part of that game was bad. You got to incorporate Smith into your offense. Even if he's missing shots, you want Jabari Smith taking shots because the shots eventually are going to fall, and he's going to get going.
And then it worked out against Georgia when he went to the rim. I'm not saying you would have scored there, but Wendell Green shot – at the end of regulation to win. Good God.
It was a 32-footer.
Yeah, he takes whatever it was at that point. I mean, like, holy hell.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
What are you doing? You don't even get the ball in Smith's hands. Like, it was.
Smith's got to take that shot. If someone's taking a wild 30-footer, it's got to be Jabari Smith. That's my point. It's why I think, and I think I said this on Monday.
Is it a Green issue? Is it a coaching issue? Like, what is it?
You know, when you're 21-1 or whatever they were.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're every locker room's a celebrated locker room, to steal from Houston Nutt.
Yeah.
It's all worked out. Hey, what we're doing works. Yeah, I know. Missouri gave you a run, but you won.
Yeah, Georgia.
Georgia gave you a run, but you won. You got on the bus happy. They had a loss coming. They needed a loss. They did. They needed a loss.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming soon. And last night was the obvious when you looked at their schedule, and that's probably the one. It works out great for Bruce. They'll destroy A&M Saturday. They will mutilate Texas A&M Saturday. Bruce will have their attention now, and he doesn't even have to like peel the paint off the walls. They played well. They took them to overtime. Could have easily won the game, but the fact is they did some things last night that you'd rather do it now and learn from it.
Big say they played a game that will absolutely get them beat in March.
Yeah, you play that in the Sweet 16 and you're not going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, Purdue will get you.
Yeah, so you gotta learn from, and they will. Bruce is a great coach. He'll learn from it. His team will they will benefit from last night. That last night will be a good thing for them.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing for Musselman too. I mean, you gotta give them credit. I mean, like I posted this last night. People are like, he's weird. I'm like, yeah, but look how hard kids play for the guy. He's really worked the portal well. I can't think of the kid's name, the little 5'7 guard.
From Miami. Yeah.
That kid's just fearless, man. I mean, he does not miss free throws. He gets to the line and makes free throws. Their ability.
Williams.
Is that right?
Is it Williams?
No.
Is that wrong one?
I'm talking about I can't remember the kid's name. I don't know. But Musselman's kind of built a little depth here in the last couple of weeks. I don't think they're good enough to make a tournament run.
Likes.
Yeah. That's him.
Yeah.
But they've got like at least two elite players coming into their program next year, and the atmosphere there last night was admirable. You have to give them credit. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you know, you look around the league, and the league's really good in basketball right now. It's kind of a fun league. Yeah. There's some good teams. Everybody's sleeping on Tennessee.
They kind of went ugly. They started the year poorly.
But they're starting to sort of find an identity. And I thought for LSU last night, we like to make fun of LSU, but I thought for LSU last night that was big.
Yeah, they had to get going.
And they had to play well. And they played well early.
Yeah. End up winning by 10-ish.
And Kentucky's a title contender.
They are.
And Auburn's a title contender. But if Auburn's going to win a title in a big game, the ball's got to get in Smith's hands. And that message has to get – and maybe now you can, you know, without
– you do get on green a little in film and go,
what are you doing?
You got the first pick. Use him. Give him the ball.
And I'll tell you this, Kessler, man. Kessler's making NBA money week after week right now.
That's the other good thing that happened in that loss is he was upset and pissed last night. And that's good. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
They kept going to his face, and he was really struggling kind of at the end of that game last night.
Yeah,
so.
Well.
Yeah, I get it.
It's a fun league, mm-hmm. And, you know, the tournament will be a lot of fun for the teams that are good.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, and frankly, I had this conversation with a couple people last night. I don't know, like, I kind of copped out last night because I had other stuff I was working on, and it was late when I got back, and I can't write the basketball story about, these young guys are getting to play. They're not – only one of them is getting to play, and he's not playing much.
Oh, they're not playing the young guys.
You know, I don't know. I'm just talking to you as much as anything right now. I don't know what I'm writing. Like, what do you write tonight if Ole Miss loses? What do you write if they win? I know nobody cares in the stream, but these are the things that we talk about sometimes. Like, what do you even write? And what's the story? It feels like you're sort of ignoring this elephant in the room, and yet at the same time, I don't personally think anything's going to happen. I don't think that's on the table.
Yeah, at the moment.
And I'm not saying it should or shouldn't be. I just don't know that it is. And tonight, the one thing I'm kind of watching the most is what's the crowd?
Energy crowd.
Because you see that crowd last night. You see the crowds that Auburn has gotten, that Alabama has gotten. Like, you look at the Alabama game this year when Baylor came to town, that place was a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's had big crowds. Kentucky's Kentucky. You look around the league and you're like, we're not that. And yet, how do you get there? And you look at that and you want that, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, it's like, I don't think – I've said this, it's repetitive. I just don't think in today's SEC, speaking of what Oklahoma's in for, I don't know that in today's SEC in the major sports, the five sports that can achieve a high profile, and so that includes women's basketball and softball.
Yeah, sure.
I just don't think you can abandon any of those sports. I don't think you can go, well, this just isn't for us.
Well, and Key's sure as hell not abandoning men's basketball.
No. Come on.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Johnston Hill Creamery. It is a king cake season. You can order those all the way through March 1st. We told you about the new flavor they had going yesterday. It's cheesecake. They fill a homemade king cake dough with their cheesecake dip and top it with cinnamon sugar. It's then rolled, braided, and baked. Topped with their icing and more cheesecake dips. Available for pre-order now until Fat Tuesday, along with plain cinnamon, lemon curd, or praline pecan flavors. 24-hour notice required on that. Also, you can get the the Valentine's boxes. There are multiple different options for those, between cheese trays, charcuterie trays, and more. Remember, they make all their artisanal cheese in-house there in Oxford on White Oak Lane, just off Molly Bar. I stopped by yesterday, picked up one. 662-419-9201 or cheese at JohnstonHillCreamery.com.
College Corner's your one-stop Rebel shop. Two locations in the Jackson area. By the way, I do want to get your thoughts on this. I'll get back to the reader on College Corner. Have you looked at my mailbag yet?
I have not, no.
While I'm reading these, if you pull the mailbag up, look at Avery's question, the tweet about the person throwing the bell pepper.
Okay.
And let's just, I want to get your thoughts on what that is.
Okay.
Because I couldn't figure that out. There was a lot there.
Okay.
The College Corner is your one-stop Rebel shop. Two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland. It's next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's okay. Go to collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day with the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. We're also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern 662-429-4429. Running out of time for Valentine's Day, but you still have time, so get in touch with the people at Lamman's Fine Jewelry in Oxford, 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. They've been serving the Oxford area for 74 years. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, children's jewelry, collectibles, and more. It's all there at Lamman's, 662-234-2777. ACS is owned by Clay McNutt in Baldwin, Mississippi. It's a complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. They have a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff and a UL-508A panel shop. If you're in need of custom HMI and SCADA solutions or large horsepower VFD specialist, ACS has you covered. They can service and install Rockwell Automation, Allen Bradley, Siemens, ABB, Square D, and many other manufacturers. For more information or to get in touch with them, go to acsllcms.com or call 662-601-4381. Game Changer Patches are the only two-patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start, so get in touch with them before the Super Bowl on Sunday, and that way you can get the warm-up patch before or while you drink and use that overtime patch after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep and get ready for a day that should be a national holiday but isn't. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game and ready for your next play. It's GameChangerPatch.com, promo code REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase. Valentine's Day right around the corner, as we just mentioned. You're still looking for that perfect gift for your special someone. Dead Soxy has your gifting covered because nothing says I love you like some good socks. Dead Soxy has increased the discount on the Rebel Grove code to 30% off from now through midnight on February the 14th. So head over to the site, deadsoxy.com. See all the new styles. Take advantage of this amazing offer at Dead Soxy. And Brothrow, it's a social sports betting network. Ready for the Super Bowl. You want to put some bets in, want to have some fun. Go to brothrow.com. It's a really cool, fun way to bet. No third party, no juice. Over time, that saves you money. Start your own group, make friends, invite your friends. Payment happens within 24 hours of the conclusion of your bet. Take the other side of an existing bet, start a new bet, and more at brothrow.com. And just a quick reminder, you have until February the 20th to sign up for Oxford Park Commission Baseball. It's oxfordparkcommission.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Style Assembly. They're on the square in Oxford, 203 North Lamar. It's next to Blind Pig, newest boutique in Oxford, offering clothes, shoes, purses, jewelry, sunglasses, and much more. And it is a great time for gift cards for Valentine's Day, because you purchase a gift card for the lady in your life, or maybe just for yourself. If you're one of our four percenters, get an additional 10% off added to the card. So extra 10% added to the card when you mention you saw it on the site, podcast. However, just reference us when you do that. And then for 4%ers, head in, create a wish list in the store over the phone. It's left on file. Guys can call in or stop by, pick something off the list. It's a win-win for everybody. Live and wrap it up, have it waiting on you. And if not in Oxford, that's not a problem. They ship as well. You can call or DM on Instagram to place an order. Phone number 662-638-3163. Ask for Kate. The owner should personally help you assemble the style you're looking for. That is shopstyleassembly.com. Again, 638-3163. So I think I found the original author of it.
Okay.
It is an Alan Wagner, it appears, from November of 2021, November 4th. And what you're referencing is a flyer is put on appeared to be a telephone pole of some sort.
Yes.
It says, "Who does it?" in big red letters. "Every evening a pepper falls down the chimney." Every evening.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures of a pepper with "I hate you" scribbled or inscribed into it.
Right.
A picture of how they throw it into the chimney. Caught throwing it from a doorbell cam. And then a bell pepper laying in their logs, it appears. "Every evening a pepper falls down the chimney. I worship the Lord and have never made an enemy. Who's doing it?" Question mark. "I have a one-of-a-kind relationship with Christ. He's harmed people for me. He can find you in any town, and I suggest you end your campaign."
Mm-hmm.
Then at the bottom, let's talk about this. 412-552-3183. Are we more scared of the pepper thrower or of this individual? We're more scared of this individual,
I'm more scared,
right,
of this person, because this person is saying, "I know who you are," I think. And it says, I can have you hurt. Right?
That is my interpretation. But it's not a direct threat in case the cops come. Because I go, "Hey, I just know Christ and he might do something."
Right.
I'm not, "Hey, I'm going to go slit them."
Yeah.
Who takes the time to throw a pepper every day in someone's chimney? And then two, how many peppers we got? Because that's a hell of a throw.
And it takes.
I'm incredibly impressed with the throw.
I know, because you're not hitting 1,000 on that, right? I mean, you're not Tom Brady. And it takes a minute to inscribe "I hate you" on a bell pepper.
Do we believe this at all?
Chase.
But again, why?
Chase, we've been,
right?
After the last 2 years.
Okay.
After the last 2 years of your existence, is there anything that you would just not believe? Just.
But again, why? On all counts.
Well, the person throwing the bell peppers where you'd want to start. Like, why are you doing this? Like, what's the deal?
Finds it funny, but has the time and the energy and the.
Think they kept doing it after the flyer? Or do you think the flyer came and they're like, "Ah, you know what? I better stop." Or do you think they made the call and said, "Hey, I was just goofing around. I'm sorry."
No, I don't think anybody called.
You think it just ended?
Yeah, I do. He appears to also be doing a lot of these things. This is why I don't believe it. If you go to his Twitter account, like, he hangs up a lot of flyers. It's not a one-time flyer.
So you think these are just flyers to be funny?
I think that is a possibility, yes. I think that's at least, it's either that or this dude needs to be, like, watched by someone, one or the other.
Nothing surprises me.
I mean, no, look, well, again, even if it is all fake, again, who is taking the time?
Right.
Why is this what it is that is... Like, he has one here, it goes, "Found, colon, bowl. White bowl, and at the bottom, a picture of the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, like, inscribed on the bottom of the bowl. Not offering the bowl back, I just want to meet the woman. Trust me, I've known you 100 years in my heart. I will take you as you are. Take one of these restaurant buzzers. Walk around and it will buzz when you're in front of my house."
Oh.
Yeah. Got a lot of stuff here. I think we've been duped.
Could be.
Yeah. Again, I'm still worried about the guy because who has the time or the effort or the inclination. But nonetheless, that's kind of where I'm sitting here.
More of a relationship with an Old Testament God than the New Testament God, I'm thinking, right? Right? I mean, that's what's being implied there.
The sinner's in the hands of the angry God a little bit here. Like, it's a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
On the scope. Okay. That's fair. Let's see. I have some more baseball to you later today. We'll have the defensive side of the roster snapshot as well coming up soon. And then Ole Miss basketball tonight, Alabama, 7:30 start for that from the Pavilion here in Oxford. Rebels and Tide. So hope you all have a wonderful afternoon, wonderful day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.